All right, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and our passage this morning is from verse 10 all the way down through to the end of this chapter. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10 to verse 21, and our topic for this morning is the faithful prophet of the Lord, the faithful prophet of the Lord. As you know, when the Bible speaks of a prophet, basically, what is a prophet? A prophet is a mouthpiece of God. He is one who proclaims the word of God. And sometimes when we use the word prophet, we have in our minds, yes, the prophets of the Old Testament, the prophets of old, those who were able to foretell certain things of the future, to be able to predict what is about to happen. And of course, it's not because of anything intrinsic in them, but because God gives them that revelation. God shows them, whether directly speaking to them, by way of visions and dreams, God puts words in their mouths, God guides them in their teaching and their preaching, and helps them to be able to transmit a message to the people. That is what prophets like Samuel did. Prophets like Elijah, Elisha, many of the writing prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the major prophets, and all the minor prophets as well. And these are the prophets that were given the word of God, and through that they had a message of God for the people. But it's not always about future events. Actually, by and large, many of the times the prophets were tasked with the message of God for the people in the present. Yes, some of the message will be telling them about what is to come, but many of them were to basically explain the word of God to them in the present, of God's instructions for them. Thus saith the Lord, this is what the Lord wants you to do. And telling them, warning them, rebuking them of their sin, applying the word of God in their lives, and showing them that, well, this is some of the ways in which you are in error, and these are some of the ways in which you ought to serve the Lord and live for Him. Because that is all under the umbrella of the job of the prophet, to give the message of God to the people in the present. So some of it will be what we call foretelling, that means telling that which is to come beforehand. But some of it will be what we call forthtelling. So foretelling, F-O-R-E, and forthtelling, F-O-R-T-H. Right? Forthtelling means telling to them what they need to know in the present, right now. A message, basically, a sermon, if you may. And, you know, if you read all the prophecies, again, all the writing prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, and so on and so forth. Right? The minor prophets. Many of them come simply by way of a message for the people. And in a way, it reads like sermons. Thus saith the Lord. And this is what the Lord wants you to know. And so, put it simply, the prophet is a preacher. A preacher that bears the word of God. A preacher who proclaims the word of God. And in our present time, what is the modern day prophet? Well, it is anyone who preaches God's word. Because his function, his role, is as a mouthpiece of God, one who proclaims God's word to the people. And so what makes a faithful preacher? What makes a faithful prophet? Is it the fact that he is very exciting, very engaging, one who is able to tug on your heartstrings, to be able to pull you in a certain direction and feel a certain way? Or is it one who is able to tell good stories, make you feel good, make you laugh, good jokes? What makes a good prophet? What is the source of the preacher's effectiveness? What is the barometer? What is the measure of a prophet's faithfulness? But oftentimes, it's not so much in the result, isn't it? But it is what he does. how well he fulfills the task that God has set for him. And if we define the task as simply being a mouthpiece of God, well, then we begin to realize that the role of the prophet really is simply to faithfully transmit the message that God has to give to the people. That is all. How faithful he is to the task before him. And that's what makes a good preacher, or that is how we should define a good and a faithful preacher. It is not the most charismatic speaker, not the most engaging speaker. I mean, of course, these are qualities that we would not be against. These are useful qualities to be had. But the mark of a faithfulness, a mark of a measure of faithfulness, right, is not the choice of jokes or stories, but it's really how well he is able to deliver God's word to us. And by God's word, we make the distinction. Not his own word, not his own thoughts, not his own thinking, but really the truth of God's word. And so that was how Samuel was described as. Samuel, in verse 20 of this passage, was described as a prophet of the Lord. He was established as a prophet of the Lord. Why? Because as we will see in this first test that the Lord sets for him, how does he pass this test with flying colors? It is that he faithfully transmits what God revealed to him to the intended recipient, which in this instance was Eli. Where Eli said, "What has the Lord said to you? Hide it not from me." And then Samuel told him every whit, meaning every word. Right, Samuel told him everything that he had received faithfully, and he hid nothing from him. That is simply what a prophet is to do. Whatever God reveals to him, he transmits to the intended recipient. And so in a nutshell, that's what it is. That's what a faithful prophet of the Lord is. But let us examine a little bit closer, particularly in the life of Samuel and this young man, and how he fulfills this role well. And so a few simple thoughts, right? Really what makes a faithful prophet? Firstly, he hears the word of God. He hears the word of God. And that was what was happening, as you see from verse 10 to verse 14. What makes a faithful prophet? It is basically one who receives the word of God. Now, for Samuel, it came to him directly and personally. And we know the account here. So we know what happened prior, where he was sleeping. The Lord called to him. Initially, he didn't realize, right? The Lord said, "Samuel, Samuel." He thought it was Eli, and so three times he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I." And the third time, Eli finally realized, he discerned that this was God that was calling him. And so he gave him instruction, right? When you go back, and then you wait. And when the Lord calls you the fourth time, you simply say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears." And that's exactly what happened in verse 10. And so like in the previous times, the Bible says the Lord came and he stood and he called. Very deliberate actions being described of the Lord. The Lord was patient. And so now this is the fourth time. This time Samuel was ready. And so the Lord called and said, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel answered and said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And that's really the first mark of the prophet. He hears. Or he's ready to hear. And he hears with this humble submission. And that is the heart of any prophet of the Lord, any preacher, any teacher of the Lord as well. We must first be recipients of God's word. Because how can we expect to preach? How can we expect to teach, to deliver God's word, if we do not first receive God's word for ourselves? That's the basic first simple, you may say, prerequisite, but one that ought to occupy and fill the time of any preacher of God's word. He must spend his time faithfully studying learning, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving God's word. And that is not just a thing that we do when we enter into seminary and Bible college, and we spend the 4 years, 3 years learning. That's only the start. And that is far from enough, because there is only that much you can learn in those few credit hours that you receive throughout the course of those few years of education. All his life, the faithful prophet, the faithful preacher of God's word, must have this heart of Samuel, which says, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." It is that posture of receiving, as much as we can through various ways and means of reading God's word, studying God's word, listening to sermons, Bible studies, reading books, studying commentaries. Now, these are all the various ways in which we are called to receive God's word. And especially in our time and our age, we do not have that same privilege of receiving, as it were, in the way that the prophets of old receive. Why? Because we have the complete revelation of God here in our hands. Because basically that's what a prophet was receiving, right? They were receiving the word of God. And it was necessary then, because the word of God was not yet complete. But what we have is the full and complete word before us. And therefore, the responsibility of any teacher of God's word is to firstly receive. And that is not just the job of the preacher. I mean, yes, of course. The pastor, the preacher, has to spend his time in the word of God. That's a given. But for all of us also, we all are in a position where which we are called to be a mouthpiece of God. In a sense where we are all called to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all called to always have that ready answer. And how can we do so unless we first hear? As parents, you are called to be leaders in your home. You are called to teach your children. And again, how unless we first hear? If you are called into a teaching ministry, again, or perhaps even more so, that becomes your responsibility as well. You must first receive. Or as what Samuel says, "Speak, for thy servant hears." And if you are a Sunday school teacher, if you are called to teach or guide or lead in any sort of way, are you giving yourselves over to the study of God's word? I dare say all teachers must or should be involved in some form of a Bible study, or if you have the time, it'll be wonderful if you can take up courses at the Far Eastern Bible College. They are all online now, readily available, accessible to you. Or means by which you are studying God's word by yourself, not just every time the syllabus comes, all right, I'll study this lesson so that I can teach this Sunday. More than that. Because, teaching God's word is not just in isolation of that few verses that you're called to teach. It is about the full breadth of the knowledge and understanding of the word of God. And that comes through years and years, a lifetime of study. And that is the first desire and the heart of a prophet, is that he wants to hear the word of God. He's eager to hear the word of God. He cannot get enough of the word of God. Why? Because he delights in God's truth. Because the word of God is not just so that he can have the knowledge of it and transmit it in the message that he gives. But the word of God transforms his life. The word of God is what is crucial, foundational in everything that we do. And that's what made Samuel the faithful prophet that he came to be. Because he had the word of God in him. You know, not just the words that he said, but a word of God that undergirded his entire life of faithful ministry. And that is, of course, a basic challenge that I give to all of you. Are you studying the word of God? At the very least, reading the word of God for yourselves daily. And then availing yourselves to the various many opportunities that are. whether it's the Sunday SBS that we have. All of you are invited to the YAF, although, yeah, it's called YAF, but every one of you. The Adults Fellowship, the Ladies Bible Fellowship. All these various avenues, right, whereby we come together and study God's Word. The opportunities are there. Why are you not availing yourselves to them? And you say, I have no time. I have no time. Well, you know, I would rather if you would spend the time firstly to study than to rush ahead and want to teach and to want to do all these other things in service. But if you are not first studying, if you are not first receiving, then why do we have the time to do everything else? The first very basic thing, we must study the Word of God. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And you know, some of the messages that they receive will be hard, hard messages. Messages which they are then called upon to transmit. And so, you know, Samuel was put to the test. You know, this first message that he received of the Lord was a terrifying one. And the Lord began in verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. It's a very descriptive way to describe that. Basically say it's a very terrifying message, right? In our sort of modern vocabulary, or you know, the phrasing that we will use, you know, it'll cause your hair to stand on end, right? That's the way that we will say it. Or it brings a chill down your spine. That's a proverb, right? To describe something that's very hard to hear, chilling, terrifying. That's what God meant here when he said that the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. It'll burn hot. It'll tremble, as it were. Why? He says, in the day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I began, I will also make an end. And so that was a message they had given to Eli already in the previous chapter. Remember, we saw how there was a man of God. Now, we are not told who this man of God was in verse 27, but he came to warn Eli and to judge Eli, to say, well, because you have allowed all these things to happen under your watch, as a priest and as a father, your sons have done these terrible things, causing the people of the Lord to hate the worship of the Lord. There are these judgments against you. Both your sons will die. And furthermore, in time to come, your family, your house, you know, the line of Eli will stop being the high priest, and the role of the faithful priest, the high priest, will be given over to someone else. And we saw that last Lord's Day. And so it was a terrifying, tingling message. And God now gives a confirmation to say that as much as I have promised to do so, I will begin it, and once I begin, I will not end. And that's the certainty of God's work. And once he does a certain thing, he will not end until it is seen to its fruition. God is a faithful God. And if it is a promise of good, well, that is encouragement to us. In the same way that when God begins the work of salvation in you, he will not rest until it's complete. He will see it through. He will not start to save you halfway and then leave off and then, you know, forsake you. God will not do that. But in that same way, when God promises to pronounce judgment, he says, I will begin it, I will also end it. And what was the judgment here? He says, I have told him that I will judge his house forever. Why? Because of the iniquity which he knows. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Indeed, it is a very chilling warning. As stark as the warning was in the previous chapter, to say that your house will be cut off, to say that there will be no old person, no old man in thy house. And that was fulfilled when Hophni and Phinehas were killed on the field of battle. But the judgment of God will be further than that also. 30,000 men will die in the battle. In that day, we will see that in chapter 4. the ark of God will be taken, and the glory of God will be depart from Israel. And so it was a terrifying thing to hear, a terrifying prospect that they will soon be experiencing. But verse 14 also tells us that there is no undoing this. Perhaps in the meantime, you know, after Eli received that message, he thought, well, if I were to repent and I were to seek the Lord, and maybe he will remove this judgment from me. Maybe if I start offering more offerings and sacrifices to atone for the sins of myself, of course, and for my sons, maybe this judgment can be taken away. But here, the message for Eli was no. God has made his decision, and it will not be reversed. They will be cut off forever. And that was a very, very hard message to bring. You know, because the preacher always wants to bring a good message, a comforting message, a message for encouragement. And yes, that should be a part of what a preacher brings when that is what the text brings. But there will be portions in Scripture where there are hard, hard messages to hear. The faithful prophet is one who hears all of God's word, not just selectively, not just the parts that he enjoys, or not just the parts that he likes, but all of God's word. Was God being unreasonable when he gave this judgment upon Eli? Of course not. It was very much in line with the word of God. Numbers 15, right? Numbers 15, verse 30 and verse 31, this is what the word of God says. But the soul that doth ought presumptuously, whether he be born in land or stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And it talks of this warning against presumptuous sins. And the sins that are particularly of an abomination to the Lord, God hates sin. But yet you do it persistently again and again, despite the full knowledge that you have about how it is wrong. The Bible's warning here is clear. If you do sin presumptuously, that means you know exactly what is wrong with it, but yet, against your conscience, against the word of God, you just keep on persisting, but doing it again and again, without any concern for how wrong it is, how it is against God. The warning is that that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Basically, that he will die. He'll be judged for that. Why? Because he have despised the word of God. He has broken his commandment. He has shown little concern for God and his word. He looks down. He despises the word of God. He doesn't care. And so the warning to them was that he have broken his commandment, that soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And that is echoed here, right, in this judgment against Eli, that this iniquity is upon him. Why? Because he has sinned presumptuously. As high priest, they should have known better. The sons of Eli, they were called to be priests as well, being sons of Eli. They should have known better. And so because of what they had done, they had turned the people against God. And so God says, there is no redemption of this. Not to say that Eli was not saved, but that their soul shall be cut off from among the people. That means basically, you'll be off the land of the living. You will be dead. You'll be judged. And that is what happened. Think about Samuel in the position that he was in. This was the first message as a prophet that he's called to bring, to transmit. But what is this message? It's basically to tell Eli, his high priest, his mentor, his adoptive father, as it were, right? He was raised by Eli in the tabernacle. He was, you know, that personal assistant of Eli, the one he was sleeping close to him so that he could tend to him in his old age. Eli was the one who told him, God is speaking to you, lie down and receive it. And now this very first message he receives is to then turn and tell Eli, God will judge you because you are sinful. It was a hard, hard message to bring. But yet, that is what a faithful prophet will do. He not only firstly hears the word of God, but then secondly, he proclaims the will of God. He proclaims the will of God. Because that is what he must now bring to Eli. This message that God has tasked him with. That Eli, you will be judged. Your sons will be judged. Your family will be judged. And therefore, we are told in the next verse that he lay until the morning. How much more sleep he got? Likely little, none. The Bible says he just lay there. He lay there and waited for the sun to come up. Then he can open the doors of the house of the Lord. But then we are told he feared to show Eli the vision. He was afraid. He was terrified. Understandably so, isn't it? And when Eli asked him in the morning, what did God say? He must turn to Eli and tell him that God will judge your house forever because of the iniquity which you know. You are sinful, Eli. God will judge you for that. You are vile. Your sons are vile. You did not restrain your sons. And therefore, God swears against your house that the iniquity, the sin of your house will not be purged with sacrifice or offering forever. You will be judged. Imagine how difficult that will be to say to Eli. He was troubled, to say the least, fearful. It was not easy at all. Eli was, of course, much older than him. Eli was the high priest. Eli was a man that raised him. He respected him. He loved him, I'm sure. But he had to deliver this most difficult message, to explain to him what was God's message, what was God's will for him. Basically, that you will die and your sons will die. But these were the hard truths that he was called to convey. But that is the role of the prophet as well, isn't it? Because the Bible is replete with warnings as well. The gospel message begins with a warning of sin. That's why many people find it hard to preach the gospel. Because you're basically to sit a person down, a friend, acquaintance, maybe a family member, maybe your parents, and tell them you are sinful. And because you are sinful, God will judge you and send you to hell if you do not repent. And then to tell them that they must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not easy at all. Because, of course, you know, we all want to say the nice things. We want to give words of encouragement. We want to share about the love of God and the grace of God. And these are all good as well. But in order for a person to be convicted, to help him to realize that he needs the Lord Jesus Christ, we must first speak of sin and the judgment of sin, which was what Samuel was tasked here to do. You know, sometimes after I preach, I give a certain message, you know, people will come and say, hey, were you talking about me? I mean, sometimes it's in half jest, but sometimes it's kind of serious. And sometimes, yes, they have shared certain things, and I do have certain knowledge of certain things that people are going through. But, you know, in a way, that's why expository preaching, you know, is so good. It's effective. As you know, well, how I very often, most of the time, would do it is I choose a particular book and we go through that together. And in that way, what, you know, happens is that as we come upon these passages, I didn't choose it on that particular Sunday. It is that in the order of the book, in the way that all these verses pan out, well, this is the passage that was chosen for this particular Lord's Day. And that And I can then explain or I can reply. He says, no, it's not me. This was the passage that, you know, comes on this Lord's Day. And, oh, this is the word of God for you, not from me. You see? And so be it that the Lord can arrange it in such a way. Well, this is the revelation of God. And, you know, this is God's timing. Perhaps God knew that you need to hear these things on this particular day, at this particular point of time in your life. And God reveals His will and His word to you directly. It's not because I deliberately think, okay, this person needs this thing, and then I'll choose this verse so that this person can hear this thing at this point of time. No. And I'm not thinking of individuals. And although it looks like I'm looking at you, I'm really not actually looking at any face in particular. It'd be very distracting if I do that. I'm just sort of in the general direction, focusing not on any particular person and not thinking of any particular person either. As I mentioned, the role of the preacher is to simply explain the word of God. And perhaps these are things that all of us need to hear. These are things that, I came upon as I studied God's word, what was revealed to me, as it were, not in the same way that a vision is, but, well, this is what I understand from God's word, and that is what I seek to transmit to you. And so it is not me, it is the word of God. Sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult. And sometimes preacher would shy away from certain passages, certain verses, because the temptation that a preacher faces is that we want to just give the people what they want to hear. Happy messages that make them feel good, not the harsh truths. But you see, the responsibility of the prophet is not to hide God's word, but to give God's word. And you know, for all his flaws, Eli understood and respected the authority of the word of God, because his charge to Samuel was equally serious. And so the next day came, and, you know, Samuel was fearful. Maybe Eli saw that in Samuel. As he came to Eli on that morning, you know, his demeanor was different. Maybe a bit more timid, maybe a bit more apprehensive, fearful even. And that's exactly what the Bible here says, right? He was fearful. He was fearful to say the things that he was charged to say. He feared to show Eli the vision. And so Eli had to very directly call Samuel and say, Samuel, my son. Remember these tender words. And then he answered, here am I. And so Eli asked him, what is the thing that the Lord has said to thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. And then he gave even a warning. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. Basically, tell me everything. Don't leave anything out. And in so doing, he is explaining to Samuel, this is your task as a prophet. Your task is to explain everything and don't leave anything out, as difficult as it may be. Say what God wants you to say. And that has to be the conviction of every faithful prophet. That has been, the consistent description of the prophets of God. Jeremiah, we talked about him last Lord's Day. Right, Jeremiah, he was called to be a prophet. And this is how he explains this word, this role. Right, Jeremiah 23, 28, I'll just read it to you. The prophet that have a dream, let him tell the dream. And he that have my word, let him speak my word faithfully. That's all. Whatever it is that you receive of the Lord, you tell it. If you have the word of God, speak the word of God faithfully. And that was the mission, that was the life of Jeremiah, the prophet, called to deliver hard messages, hard truths to the people as their future hung in the balance. He was one of the last prophets to preach before the destruction of Jerusalem. The Babylonians were surrounding them. And he was that lone voice telling them that this is God's judgment against you. And unlike other times, Jerusalem will fall. You will go into captivity. You will be there for 70 long years. And that was a message that nobody wanted to hear. Nobody in Jerusalem enjoyed to hear that. And he got into trouble. kings threw him into pits, left him for dead, cut up, tore up his messages, threw it into the fire. They hated him. And there were many false prophets in his time giving the false assurance to the people. He says, don't worry, don't worry. Yes, you may be surrounded and you may lose, but then it will be just 1 or 2 years and you'll be back. Complacency. Jeremiah was that lone voice that said, no, God is angry with your sin. God is here to judge you through the Babylonians. You will be brought into captivity. A very half difficult message, but simply, what was he called to do? He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Jeremiah. And that consistently was how all the prophets of the Lord ministered as well. You remember this person, Micaiah. He was that lone prophet in the court of Ahab, that wicked king Ahab. When Jehoshaphat, or the relatively more faithful king, went up, of course, there was an ungodly alliance there. But he called, he says, do you have a prophet of the Lord? Do you have someone that can tell us God's will for us? Yeah, Ahab says, yeah, I have that one guy, but I hate him. Why? Because he always gives me things that I don't like to hear. But nonetheless, they summon him. And what did Micaiah say? In 2 Chronicles 18:13, he said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. As a faithful prophet, right? He proclaims the will of God. Whatever it is that God tells me, whatever word it is that I have, I speak faithfully. And that is the challenge for every preacher and teacher. And if we hear such messages, we be thankful. We be thankful that we have these sort of preachers in our midst that will simply proclaim and explain all of God's word, that will preach the word instant in season, out of season, that will rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Because the Bible tells us, and this is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There will come a generation in the last days, and increasingly so, that they will not want to hear these truths. And that is what we have today. People can be very selective as to what they want to hear. In the past, you know, preachers were local. In a sense that if you live in a particular area, all you have is the local village preacher and local village church. You have no choice. You have to go. If you are a Christian, that's all you have. You, wherever it is within walking distance, on the Lord's Day, that's where you can go to hear God's word. Now, today, we have a variety of options. In the past, you know, 50, 100 years, we've had cars and public transport. We can go further and further. And in the past, what, 20 years, with the advent of the internet, our reach is basically global, right? We don't like this message, we tune into someone else. We don't like this pastor, we listen to somewhere else. And that somewhere else can be halfway across the globe, live even, with, well, the past 5 years. Now, so many churches have live streaming. And what I mean is that, well, I don't like this church, I can easily go to another. I don't even have to get out of my bedroom or even my bed. Just use my phone, tune in to whoever I want to hear, and I can be as selective as I want. Whoever is most entertaining, whoever makes me laugh the most, okay, I'll listen to this one. This Sunday, this one sounds interesting, I'll listen to that. Next Sunday, another one sounds interesting, I'll listen to that one instead. And what happens? You know, church becomes nothing more like fast food to you. And you can even change halfway. You know, when we choose a meal, you commit to a meal, right? You go to a restaurant, you sit down, and you eat. You have no choice. You can't, you know, order food, eat halfway, not so nice, stand up and go somewhere else. Once in a while, people do that, but normally no, right? But now, people can do that even for sermons. You listen to the first 5 minutes, doesn't capture my attention, move on. Move on, move on. And now, you know, listening to God's word is nothing more than those reels that you flick through on what, TikTok and Instagram and what. 10 seconds, 15 seconds, does not get my attention, let's move on. Let's find something more exciting, more interesting, more engaging. And our attention span becomes simply that. If you can't tell me what I need to know in 10 seconds or less, I'm going to move on. That is what's happening. Itching ears. Itching ears. And what becomes the determining factor of what we want to listen to is not, is this pastor, preacher faithful? Is he proclaiming the word of God? Is this the word of God that I need to hear and that I need to receive? No, it's what I like to hear, what I enjoy listening to. If it doesn't tickle my fancy, doesn't pique my interest, next, next, next. It's so easy nowadays, isn't it? But that's the warning. That is what will happen in the last days. We will no longer be interested in hearing the preacher that preaches the word in season, out of season, the preacher that reproves and rebukes and exhorts with long-suffering and doctrine. No. Verse 4 says, they shall turn their ears from the truth, and it shall be turned into fables, to stories, nothing more. Are we the ones having itching ears? That means we just want our ears to be tickled. We just want something fun, enjoyable to hear, and that's all. And the moment there are hard truths, the moment there are words that force us to confront the sin in our lives, the moment there are passages that challenge us, we turn away. Not pleasant, not nice. That is what we are faced with today, isn't it? The health and wealth gospel, people come and flock in the thousands because they want to hear words that tell them, oh, your life will be good, you'll be rich, you'll be healthy. God wants to give and bless you with everything nice, everything that the world enjoys, the material blessings. But then the faithful preacher, he preaches the old-time gospel, the gospel that saves. People turn away. There is little interest. What is the prophet that we want to hear? And then finally, verse 19 to verse 21. So verse 18, rather, Samuel was that faithful prophet, right? So Eli gave that charge. Please tell me exactly everything. If not, God will judge you. And so Samuel passed the test. Verse 18. And so Samuel told every whit. That means he said every word. He hid nothing from him. Thankfully, Eli's response was a good one, because at the end of the day, well, I trust he was one who knew the Lord. And despite his flaws, he was one who still respected the word of God. And so he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Basically, whatever the Lord's will is, God's will be done. So he accepted his fate. And verse 19 to verse 21 then gives us sort of a summary of the lifelong ministry of Samuel. And the sort of reputation that he began to establish. So that was the initial test in his youth, but the Lord continued to be with him, verse 19. And so the final description of a faithful prophet of the Lord is that the presence of the Lord guides him. He is guided by the presence of the Lord. Right? So firstly, he hears the word of God. He proclaims the will of God. And thirdly, here he is guided by the presence of the Lord. And that, again, is what a faithful prophet requires, that the Lord is with him. Simply put, the Lord is with him. And so that is the lifelong ministry that Samuel was able to enjoy. And because the Lord was with him, the Bible says, God did let none of God's word fall to the ground. Meaning to say that God fulfilled everything that Samuel prophesied. What does that mean? Does that mean that because Samuel would say a thing, then God scrambles to fulfill it? Of course, we know not. It's the other way around. All right? So when the Bible says it did let none of his words fall to the ground, it meant that, yes, God was faithful in ensuring that, in a way, all of Samuel's words sort of hit the target, so to speak. That's the idea here, right? It didn't fall to the ground aimlessly, but like an arrow that shoots true, it hits the target. It hits its intended audience. Why was that so? It's not because Samuel said it, therefore it became God's will, but rather the opposite, isn't it? It's because the Lord was with him, right? And God reveals himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. You see in verse 21. So basically, because Samuel walked with the Lord, Samuel was close to the Lord. And God continued to reveal his will to Samuel, and therefore Samuel, as a faithful prophet, will then faithfully transmit God's word. And because of that, right, Samuel's reputation as a prophet became well known. Everyone knew that everything that Samuel says will come true, right? Samuel was a mouthpiece, a spokesperson for God. So yes, from man's perspective, that's the description, right? It seemed that God did everything that Samuel predicted, but in truth, it is the other way around. Basically, Samuel spoke everything that God told him to speak, and therefore, because it was what God told him to speak, it all came true. And that's a test of a prophet. And that was what was told to them way back, right? In Deuteronomy 13 and 18, two passages that speak of the role of the prophet, right? And one of the tests is that if he says something and it comes true, well, then you know this is a faithful prophet, that the Lord is with him. And that was Samuel. He was guided by the presence of the Lord. And that is so important. Because what that means is that, well, basically the prophet walks with the Lord. He's close to the Lord, and the Lord is close to him. And that is a prophet that you want. And it goes without saying, that is the preacher that we want to hear. Not someone who is just technically gifted with the ability to explain the word of God. Not just because, you know, he has got a good education and he's able to explain and teach these things. It is backed by a testimony and a life that is close to the Lord. And that is, again, the consistent description that we see of all the prophets. That was a promise given to Moses when Moses was called in the burning bush. Right in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. When Moses had that concern, he says, you know, who am I? Who am I that I should go and bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God's assurance in verse 12 was, certainly, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. That was a promise, assurance given to Jeremiah. We have been talking about him as well. And Jeremiah had that concern. He says, well, I'm young, right? I'm a child. How am I able to speak? Jeremiah verse one, chapter 1, verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. A faithful prophet, word of God in his mouth, the presence of the Lord with him. And that same promise is given to every single one of us, as we are called to go forth and share the gospel in the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, we are told, right, to go therefore to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded thee. That is the charge. And what's the promise? Verse 20, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world, the presence of the Lord. That's what assures us. That's what backs us. That's what strengthens us and grants us the courage, the presence of the Lord. Because if I'm standing here just for me, by myself, telling you my thoughts and the things that I think you need to hear, that's a very terrifying role to play. But if I know that I'm here only by the call of the Lord, and that I'm backed by the presence of the Lord, I'm speaking only the word of the Lord, then I know it is not me. It is not me. But it's the word of God that comes through me. And so that was Samuel. His reputation grew throughout all of Israel. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba. Where is Dan and Beersheba? Basically, is the northernmost point and the southernmost point of the borders, the boundaries of Israel. Right? Dan, as you know, migrated all the way up north when they didn't like the land that was given to them in the territory of the Philistines. And so Dan will be the northernmost part. Beersheba will be a town at the very southernmost part. Right? So that became Samuel's reputation. Now remember, this was coming out of the period of Judges. And the period of Judges actually was a time in which all the regions, the territories, were rather fragmented. Right? After Joshua, every tribe was given their territory to go and conquer. Some did it better, some did it worse. And so, you know, throughout the book of Judges, Israel didn't really actually fully function as a nation yet. They were just scattered tribes struggling, you know, in their own area. And a lot of times when you see judges being raised in the book of Judges, they were actually quite localized, serving in the few towns in the area of influence and fighting against the local enemies, whether it's the Philistines, the Ammonites, Moabites, and what have you. So Samuel actually was the first prophet that really sort of unified the people, where we see this description from Dan to Beersheba, right? That all throughout Israel, in all its scattered towns and provinces, they began to recognize the fact that God is speaking through him. He was indeed a faithful prophet, recognized by the people. And through this, I mean, the stage will be set for the unification of Israel under the kings, Saul, and then later on David. But that was the faithfulness of Samuel's ministry. And so in his time, he turned the people to the Lord. Because the Lord's presence was with him, he was not preaching sin, he was not preaching them to turn away from the Lord, but the very opposite, and they were turning he was turning them to the Lord. And that's really the mark of a faithful preacher as well. That if the presence of the Lord is with him, surely he will guide the people to walk close to the Lord. And that was again something that was told to them in Deuteronomy 13. How do you know if there's a faithful prophet? If he turns you to the Lord. Now, if he can predict the future, and even if it comes to pass, but if he then turns around and tells you to worship idols, you know that is not a right preacher. A preacher is one who has the presence of the Lord, and therefore he will always draw you nigh unto the Lord. And that's the final thought. He has the presence of the Lord guiding him. So again, what makes a faithful prophet? What makes a faithful preacher? It is one who has the word of God. He proclaims the word of God. And he's one who is guided by his presence. You know, many, many years ago, when I first started preaching, or actually shortly before I graduated, I remember there was a visiting lecturer that came. And he said this one phrase, which I remember till today. He talked about his own experience and how he was a young preacher. And I think what he shared was advice given to him then. So it was advice given to him that he then shared with us, and advice that I now continue to remember. He said, as he goes and preaches, yeah, there are fears, there are concerns, but he says, I just hide behind God's word. That's the line that he said, hide behind God's word. And what does that mean? It does not mean that we cower in fear behind God's word because we're scared, but basically, well, that is what we bring forth, right? It is not my thoughts, my opinions. It is the word of God. And another advice that was given to me then was that, you know, at the end of every sermon, the objective of the preacher is that the listener now knows the word of God a little bit better. They now understand God's word better. They can apply God's word better in their lives. And that became really two simple thoughts that I seek to bring with me every time I come behind the pulpit. I hide behind God's word. It's not what I say, it's what God's word says. My hope at the end of every sermon, even every message, Bible study, is that you know the word of God a little bit better. Because that is what carries you, that is what girds you up. Not my thoughts, not my opinions, not my desires or wants. It is what God's word says. What God's word teaches, what God's word wants for you. And I hope that is what you receive each time. That's what makes a faithful prophet. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, again, we thank thee for thy word. And as we have heard this morning, help us, O Lord, to be receptive to thy truth. That as we have preachers, pastors, teachers in our midst, guiding us unto the truth, Lord, we pray that will help us then to be receptive, to receive, to hear, as Samuel said, for thy servant heareth. Pray that thou help us all be faithful listeners of thy word and faithful preachers and proclaimers of thy truth as we go forth and share the gospel, as we guide our families, As we teach others, O Lord, we pray that thou will help us. In Jesus' most blessed and holy name we pray. Amen.